You're listening to Clinical Conversations, brought to you by Journal Watch. I'm Joe Elia. We're continuing an examination of the lessons of the April 15th bombings at the Boston Marathon with Alasdair Khan, Chief of Emergency Services at Massachusetts General Hospital and an Associate Professor of Surgery at Harvard Medical School. Welcome, Dr. Khan, and thank you for speaking with us.
Good to be here.
You've got a piece in the Annals of Internal Medicine about that day, and I'll put a link to it on the website. And you say that before the bombings happened, you already had a pretty full emergency department on your hands. Is that right?
That's right. We had the what we call the ring down, which is we're connected by radio to what we call CMEB, which is the Central Medical Emergency Direction. Whenever there's a multiple casualty incident or, for example, you'd be surprised how often a plane arrives at Logan on the first pass, the undercart is not down. So they call Boston and say, can you just check on the capability of the hospitals? And they went through that at around about 5 to 3 and said, there's been an explosion. What's your capability? And that was sufficiently worrying that they then beeped a lot of us in the emergency department leadership group and said, we think there's something happening. And I took one look at the screen and realized that we had an absolutely full emergency department and one empty stretcher bay, which we normally keep for a cardiac arrest or a multiple trauma, but that wasn't going to be enough to take in the number of casualties if this indeed turned out to be a multiple casualty event, which, of course, it did turn out to be.
Your essay details what happened next, and you had something over the course of the next few hours, something like 30 patients who came in, about 5 of whom, if I'm not mistaken, had to be resuscitated as they came through the door.
That's right, yeah. The 2 or 3 things sort of contributed in terms of, and the first one was we realized that we had to evacuate the emergency department. And I must say, every clinician, doctors, nurses, administrative support staff, where those patients who were occupying those stretchers at 5 to 3 in the afternoon, where they went to by 5 minutes, 10 minutes past 3, 15 minutes late, I have no idea. But nurses and physicians came down from the floors and said, we have an empty bed upstairs. Which patient do you want me to take? I'll take them upstairs right now. I know you have not finished the emergency department workup. Don't worry about that. We'll get them out of your emergency department. And it was just phenomenal. And that obviously gave us the capability when the first patients began to arrive.
Now, so the general question is, what do you think that the medical community as a whole can learn from this? Is the Boston experience, and I understand that Boston does a fair amount of drilling, and because it's got an airport and other things, is that exportable to other places, other communities?
I think some of it is. One of the unsung heroes are the people at the scene, and particularly what Boston EMS has done, and we've got a very good working relationship, all the hospitals do, with the pre-hospital community in Boston and the surrounding communities. And they were very careful, because when they call the ring down and say, Mass General, Brigham, Beth Israel, but what's your capability? They're noting that down, and they're saying, okay, 2 patients to the general. That means they can now manage not 10, but 8. 2 more. They're down to 6. So they're very careful not to overload one particular hospital. And unfortunately, that often happens in a disaster. Everybody is sort of sent to the closest hospital, which is very rapidly overwhelmed. And you're not utilizing hospitals that may indeed be 3, 4, 5 minutes away, but if the closest hospital is overwhelmed, they can't open up the operating rooms and get the resuscitation teams. They're just too overloaded. And we've trained to do that, but that was an integral part of Boston's success.
Uh-huh.
And the crews at the scene were very careful not to sort of overload any hospital. And in actual fact, even inside our own hospital, as two or three hours into the disaster, we were expecting, we heard there was more than two explosions. We heard that there was another bomb that had not exploded, there were two more, and then there was another episode elsewhere in the city that was thought to be, and we in actual fact could have admitted, could manage more patients. Mm-hmm. And I think all of the hospitals felt the same. So the distribution of patients was something that I think other cities and communities can learn from.
Are there plans for the heads of all the city's emergency departments to get together and discuss, do an after-action discussion about this?
Yes, and that's going to happen in sort of two or three venues. The first one is that we do need to have, we have our regular EMS disaster meetings. Mary Fran Hughes, who's the nurse manager of the emergency department here at the MGH, has been chairperson of the EMS disaster committee in Boston now for 18 years. So they have regular meetings, and obviously the next few meetings will be let's look at what went right, but let's also see what could be improved on. So that's going to be an ongoing discussion. We are looking at a sort of single data repository where we're collecting that data now in terms of very specifically how many patients, what injuries, what operations, how long ICU stay, things like that. And then individual institutions or individual physicians can garner information from that database and then publish in their own specialty. For example, our orthopedic colleagues will be very interested to look at the different outcomes from the amputations and how they were managed, and how can we, as a medical community, learn about how to best manage amputations in blast injuries, for example. So, and then I'm sure the rehabilitation people will be contributing to their literature about the rehabilitation. So we can all get into that sort of master database and learn about it for our own specialties.
Now, you have residents at the Mass General in emergency medicine. What are you hoping that they will, or what have they told you that they have taken away from this experience and apply perhaps throughout their careers?
The fabulous outcome from us as an institution, and I think that they learned this, and I mentioned it in the last line or so when I was asked to sort of ask this, write this very brief article for Annals of Internal Medicine. We had a debriefing a few days later, and one of the physicians said, every single one of us, whether you're a nurse or a doctor or just clean the floors or register the patient, was a member of the team that day, and together as a team we saved lives. And I think that what the residents learned was, you're very proud of your profession, you're very skilled, but it's the team that makes the difference. And we're all on the same team, we all have different skills, but whether you're a nurse or, as I say, just clocking in the patients, we all contribute, and without having the nurse, the doctor can't function. Without having the patient registered and get in the blood bank, the patients. So it's the teamwork that makes a difference. And as a medical community in the emergency department that day, everybody came together and were members of a team. Admittedly, we had rehearsed, but this was the real thing, and they felt very proud to be a member of that community on that particular day. And that's what I think the residents will learn. It's teamwork.
And finally, what should listeners to this podcast do in their own communities, do you think, this week that they weren't doing last week?
I think every community has now woken up. I mean, we hoped that 9/11 was going to be an isolated event, and to their enormous credit, although we like to decry governmental organizations, they to a large extent have kept America safe, but were safe no longer. We're no longer living in the age of innocence. The Oklahoma bombing, the multiple shootings at schools, and yes, the bombing here in Boston, no community is immune, and they need to be able to go to their local elected representatives and say, we're not safe. You can't guarantee our safety, but if something does happen, are we prepared? And that means plans and drills And it's the planning and the drilling that made the difference on marathon day in Boston, and people need to make sure that their local community has those resources trained and ready to go, although obviously we hope they're never utilized.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Kahn, for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
That was our 161st edition. All earlier ones may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from Journal Watch. I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.